I'm going to pray for us as we look at Psalm 16 together, so let me pray. Father, my desire is that we would grow in passion for you, for Jesus Christ, your Son. He is the reason that we exist, Jesus. We exist for your glory, the great and holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we are people on mission to be and so to make passionate disciples of Jesus for your glory, Father. So we pray this morning that as we meditate on your word, that you would grow us in passion for you, and so in hunger to be people who meditate day and night on you and your word, that we might live lives that honor you, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I wanted to mention at the start here that as we reflected at the elders and then the elders and deacons retreats over these last 2 weeks, one of the things we really wanted to recognize and thank God for was the one-to-one discipleship last year. And I'm not sure how much we mentioned the growth that we saw, but we have about 40% of our church community in those groups already. And so we just really wanted to acknowledge God's goodness there. And I know more importantly than 40% is how beneficial these groups have been for those involved. And I know many people have mentioned to me the blessing that it's been to be in one of those groups. What is one of those groups, or what are these groups that we're talking about? Essentially, it's just two people, two guys or two girls getting together and meeting around the Word of God, talking about the Scriptures and these 11 principles that the book looks at about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And so things like reading the Bible and praying, but also things like self-denial, surrender and trust. Some of these areas that we might not think of on a personal level with another person where we can share. If you're interested in something like that, before I hunt you down and force you to be in a group, no, I'm kidding. If you're interested in being in one of those groups, come speak to me. We are in the process, in the constant process of reviewing and rethinking who might fit for who and that sort of thing. And so we'll probably get around to you this year. But yeah, can I encourage you? This is such a good thing. In my life, the biggest area of growth I think I've seen by God's grace is meeting with another man who loves Jesus and who helps me love Jesus. And there's been lots of them in my life, but I just can encourage you so much that this is a really good thing to grow in Jesus. So if you're not already in one of those groups, please come and speak to me if you're interested. But we just wanted to acknowledge God's goodness, because we've just seen not just the growth in seeing people put up their hand and say, hey, I want to be in one of these groups, and people saying yes to us asking, but more importantly, people growing in Christ as a result of sitting down on a fortnightly basis with someone for about an hour and talking about the Scriptures and how that has to touch their life and their struggles. So let me commend that to you, and let me encourage you to thank God with us and to continue to pray that he would raise up more of these groups this year. Next week we're going to be relaunching what we've been doing for a few years now. We've been trying to be a bit more, can't think of a word so I won't say any, we've been always working in progress with the devotional booklets. We call them devotional booklets, and I've had people say, there's no notes in them, there's no devotional notes. You can't call it a devotional. So we're not going to call it devotional anymore. We'll just call it like a booklet. Actually, I've got a name here, but I can't find it in my notes. What do I call it? Growing in Passion Together, Bible Meditation and Prayer. Do you like that? It could be GPTBMP. How's that? Is that memorable? I'm still working on that. But Growing in Passion Together, Bible Meditation and Prayer. And essentially what we're going to do is, basically Gina's doing this, so I'm just the mouthpiece. But no, what we're going to do this year is, we're not going to give out a whole booklet, because we probably cut down 1,000 trees last year. And I don't know how many people actually wrote in the booklets. I didn't write much in the booklet itself. But if you want a journal, if you're a journaler, or if you've never journaled before, get a journal, buy a book for 50 cents from Woolies. And you can use that with it, or if you do your own journal already, if you've got a fancy smancy diary like Lee does, you could use that. Let me encourage you, what we do is we just choose a chapter of the Bible for a day, so So it's one chapter, so let's just say we're reading Psalms. So today is Psalm 20. Then we have a couple of questions, like suggested questions, that we're actually going to look at today, just to help you think through the scriptures. Because sometimes you read a psalm or you read a passage of the Bible and it's like, what's going on? But to actually have some questions that might help lead us by the Spirit to grow through this. And then also we have a suggested prayer for that day. So something we're all praying together. Now, of course, you've got your own prayer, you've got your own things you might be doing, but let me commend this to you. Let me encourage you to do this year. I know, again, those people who have been involved in it over last year have just been so richly blessed, including myself. And so what I wanted to do today, that's a long way of saying, what I want to do is I want to kind of demonstrate what this could look like. Now, obviously, you're not going to preach this maybe to yourself, maybe you do that, I don't know. You stand up in a room and preach to yourself. Sometimes I do that. But mostly with people in it. But what I want to encourage you with is to show you what this could look like. Okay, so these will be booklets, they'll be available next week on Sunday for three months. And we're going to keep going throughout this year with a passage of the Bible. They'll have these four suggested questions that we're going to look at today, and then they'll have a prayer. This is not so you can tick off the box and say, yep, I'm a good Christian. This is so you can grow in passion for Jesus. Is that what we want? Yeah, amen?
Yeah.
Who wants to grow in passion for Jesus this year?
Amen.
Okay. Well, here's one way, I hope that we can pursue that. And so this is the tool. This is a tool towards that. It's not the means to that. Let me look at Psalm 16 with you. I'm going to read it again. Preserve me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As to the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those who run after another God shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out, or take their names on my lips. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. I bless the Lord, who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, or to the grave, to death, or let your Holy One see corruption. You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Do you know God like that? Do you want to? Let me commend this to you. These four reflective questions, I'm going to slightly change the order because it just didn't work for me. So I'm going to slightly change the order, but we might change them on the booklets, we'll see. But let's look at these four questions that will be in those booklets every day. Now, I want to say, maybe some days, you know, time got away from you and you didn't even journal. Maybe you didn't even use the questions. What they're there for is to guide us when we think about the scriptures. So the other day, I've been off this for a few weeks when we're away and things. The other day I was using this for Psalm 17 and I was just so blessed by it. I just thought, well, actually this would be a good thing to preach to on Sunday. So anyway, that's why we're doing it like this. Let's look at these questions and think about Psalm 16 with these questions. What do we learn here about people? What do we learn in Psalm 16 about people, about human beings? Well, it seems to me, and I'm sure there's way more things that people could list off, but here there's at least three different people or groups mentioned here. You might have noticed that. We have the psalmist, David himself, and then when we go to the New Testament, that's kind of verified for us. We have the saints, or the excellent ones, in verse 3 he mentions. And then it seems we have another group who are not the followers of Yahweh, but who run after other gods. So we have at least three groups of people, or three different people, groups, and then the psalmist himself. We see here that the psalmist, what do we learn about these groups here, these people? We see the psalmist himself, David himself, is needy, isn't he? He's needy. He's asking God here, he starts by saying, preserve me, O God, or protect me, O God. Keep me safe, O God, is the idea. It seems that at the very least, David's surrounded by people who are running after other gods, after false gods, and he's so aware of his own need of God's help. He needs God's protection. He needs God's refuge in his life. What else do we see here? David says these incredible words, "I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." Or good thing. Now, whatever David is going through, or he's just come through, and it's not clear for us, but his heart and his mind are so fixed, aren't they? They're so fixed on God, on his need for God, and on God's provision for his need. Isn't that beautiful? So much so, he's so fixated here, he's so sure of who his God is, that he recognizes that he has no good apart from him. It's an amazing statement. Even when you read that psalm yourself, I'm always like, oh, can I say that? I have no good apart from you. If God removed his hand of blessing from David, if God removed his goodness from David's life, David would have nothing good left. James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from him. Let me put it another way, maybe in a negative way. The worst thing about hell is not fire or pain or grief, but the hell of hell is that God and his goodness is not present there. It's away from his presence, is the way the Bible talks about it. His goodness. It's away from his goodness forever. That's the hell of hell. God's hand of blessing will be removed. And so David recognizes here that apart from God, he has no good thing. What else do we learn here about people? Well, we see David bless the Lord. He set the Lord always before him, he says. And this just reminds me of actually my hope for these booklets, again, is that we would set the Lord always before him, before ourselves. That as we read his word, we would think about him. That we would grow not in knowledge that puffs up, but in love that builds up. We don't want to just tick a box. Oh yeah, I read the scriptures today and I'm better than you. We haven't come to grips with who our God is and how much we need him, and what a waste of time. That we would set the Lord always before us, because how quickly and how constantly we forget the Lord. I forget the Lord. How dangerous for us, how depriving for our souls to neglect to put the Lord before us. David's delight was in the word of the Lord. Psalm 1, he meditated day and night on his word. And that's my prayer for us, for me and for you, that we might grow in passion for Jesus as we prayerfully meditate on his word and so seek to obey him because we love him. David saw in God's word who his God was. He's reminded of his goodness, of his love, of his faithfulness, of these mercies that are new every morning. I bless the Lord, he said, who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. So brothers and sisters, what's your plan, as Lee so helpfully put it a few weeks ago, what's your plan this year to grow in passion for Jesus? What's your strategy, personally? Is it just to kind of, just take it as it comes? That's sort of, Do you have a plan? Well, let me encourage you this morning to set the Lord before you. And maybe this is a tool, as we hand it out next week, maybe this is a tool for you to grow in passion this year. By his Spirit, as he speaks through his word, as he challenges us, and as he transforms us by his grace. Remember, Jesus prays for his disciples, set them apart for holy service to you, or sanctify them by your truth. And then he says, your word is truth. It's the means, isn't it? It's how God actually makes us more like Jesus, is he teaches us more about who he is, and we learn about who he is in his word. It's not a magical book that we open and it just imparts grace, but it's the truth of who he is that David's reminded of here, that I need to be reminded of today and tomorrow and the next day. Let me encourage you this morning to set the Lord before you, to meditate on his word of truth and prayerfully seek him this year, like never before. The joy that awaits you is worth it. Pray for one another. Pray for us. Are you praying that we would grow in passion for Jesus this year? Pray for me. The other thing we learn here about people is that David says, the sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. And just simply, it doesn't end well, does it? It doesn't end well for those who reject Christ and run after other gods, who reject the true God, be it Krishna or Allah, or the god of self-righteousness, the god of lust, the god of greed, the god of self-worship, the god of money, the god of family. We reflected last week that death is the doorway to everlasting judgment apart from Christ. David saw here, he sees here, that those who do not worship the true God, their sorrows will in the end be multiplied, he says. Even if today it seems like they have everything going for them, in the end it doesn't end well. Just to put it lightly, apart from Christ, in the end their sorrows will be multiplied beyond belief, beyond imagination, away from the presence of the Lord, everything that is good. But secondly, let's ask the question, what do we learn about God here? That's probably my favourite question of the four questions. Well, I suppose Jesus is a good one too. But the idea here is thinking about who God is what kind of I'm hoping. And in the Psalms, I mean, yeah, most days you're just like, wow, so much here. What do we learn about God here in Psalm 16? Well, we learn a lot, don't we? Just to list off a few. He's our refuge. He's the shelter for his people. He protects his people. He's good. He gives his people counsel and direction. He does not abandon his people, but instead he gives them life and fullness of joy, and God gives them pleasures forevermore. He's the giver of these things. He's the good and faithful one. Verses 5 and 6 say, the Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance, he says. Now, you may remember in the Old Testament when God was dividing up the promised land to the 12 tribes of Israel. And when the 12 tribes were allotted, or they were portioned, different parts of the land. You might remember different parts went to different groups. But we read in Deuteronomy 10, this is about the tribe of Levi. You might remember this. Therefore, we read, Deuteronomy 10, therefore Levi has no portion or inheritance with his brothers. The Lord, Yahweh, is his inheritance, as the Lord your God said to him. You might remember Levi was the tribe chosen by God to serve in the temple where his presence was, where God's presence was. And this was a privileged position. Their portion, the tribe of Levi, was not a physical portion like the other groups. They had this land over here. They had the dam and two of the big trees or whatever. But Levi didn't have a land. They didn't have a portion in the physical land, but they had a spiritual portion. They had the spiritual joy and privilege of being God's special people, special tribe to serve him. I think this is the idea here that in our passage. It's similar to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 says, the Lord, Yahweh, is my portion. I promise to keep your word. And the idea of cup here, similarly, to Psalm 23, which is probably familiar with most of us. You anoint my head with oil in Psalm 23, read. My cup overflows, the idea of God's blessing upon someone's life that goes beyond what we could even ask for. God is the one here in whom David finds his security and his prosperity, his blessing. It's not in a physical place that David looks to, and imagine that, he's a king of a big place, but he's not talking about place, he's not worried about the place, he's not even finding his inheritance in a place. It's not found in a house or even in family relationships for him, let alone a church building, as we might be tempted to think, but in his God, in God his refuge, his cup of blessing is found in God himself, his beautiful inheritance is in God himself. So we see here what we see all over the scriptures, that God is a God of blessing, of goodness, of refuge and shelter, a God of protection and life and fullness of joy. Is that how you think about God? The one who brings fullness of joy? Most people think of God as a party pooper. Doesn't bring joy, brings law and rules. God is a God of blessing who brings fullness of joy. Why wouldn't you want to set this God always before you? Why wouldn't we want to align our lives with a God who brings fullness of joy? Even the one who made everything that we enjoy, that's just so much less than him. Right? We'd be stupid not to. So how about a third reflective question then? How does this psalm point to Jesus? Now this one can sometimes be a bit of a harder question, maybe especially when in the Old Testament you're in a weird passage that you're just like, what's going on here? But there are some, and maybe there's more to say there, but I hope in every passage we can see something, right? So all of Scripture is one big story about God's redeeming his people, right? So just remember that. As we read that weird passage in Ezekiel and that strange law in Leviticus, it's all pointing ultimately to our need for Christ. That we are sinful, that he is holy, that we need God's justice to be satisfied, but we also need forgiveness and peace with God. How is that possible? It's all pointing to the need for Jesus, the King of Kings. And so how does Psalm 16 fit into this picture? Well, it might be a bit easier than some other places. How does this point us to Jesus? Well, just a few thoughts on this question. One is that Jesus is God's ultimate refuge, right? He's God's ultimate refuge for us. He is God's goodness revealed in the flesh. He's the one who provides us. Jesus is the one who provides us with God's beautiful inheritance. Right? He makes it possible through his death and his resurrection. He is the path of life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Right? He shows us how to live, how to walk that path of life in God. He is the one, he's the only one who perfectly sets the Lord always before him. Right? He's the one whose being, his whole being, constantly and consistently is glad and rejoices in his Father, in his God, like no one else. Not David was not always like that, was he? Jesus was. Jesus is the ultimate. He's the perfect David. He's the perfect king and priest. Right? And in fact, and this is where it's helpful to have maybe a reference Bible or a study Bible, even online, those things are available. BibleGateway.com has free stuff you can use. But if you're interested in having one and money's a thing, please talk to us. We'd love to get you one. But that's where even a reference Bible, right, will point you to other passages that have these references. So it would say, okay, Psalm 16 is also found in Acts in two places. And let me say, that's where I was reminded of these. I didn't just go, oh, yes, I know, this passage is found in Acts. No, the reference Bible helped me. Man of Israel, this is about Psalm 16, right? Let's just go to one of them. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it, that is, by death. For David, listen to this, what he's talking about, Psalm 16. For David says concerning him, that is Jesus, the Christ, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. Sound familiar? For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. He's quoting Psalm 16 and he's saying, ultimately this psalm is about Jesus. It's about his resurrection. It's about how God would not let him see corruption. We see that ultimately these words are about Christ. It was not possible for death to hold him down. The eternal God, the perfect man, Jesus Christ. The beautiful inheritance that we have in this psalm, in God, is found ultimately only through faith in Jesus. Because God raised him from the dead. He was vindicated from the dead. From death. He showed the world in his resurrection, God showed the world in Jesus' resurrection, that Jesus' word was true. And that he, in his death, completely made the payment for his people's sin. Paid in full. So where do we see Jesus? Well, I hope you see that ultimately we're seeing that this psalm, reflected in the New Testament, is telling us about Jesus and his resurrection, that he's the Holy One, that he's that Messiah, that King to come, and that he did not stay dead. It's amazing, isn't it? So how about then our last question, our last reflective question, how does this Psalm 16 affect my life today? Let me say, you might ask that question during the week and just, with another passage and just go, got no idea. But just go back to your first two questions, or first three questions, right? So if you've seen what it says about people, and what it says about God, and what it says about Jesus, and you thought even just 3 points that you've made in those three questions, or 1 point in each question, right, then you already have something, don't you? Because it's already told you who your God is. It's already told you, maybe, yeah, I'm a faulty sinner like David. I stuff up. I get it wrong. I fail. But God is good. He's merciful. I've seen that here in the psalm. I've seen that he's promised me life and fullness of joy, right? And then where's it point to Jesus? Well, ultimately that's possible through Jesus. He died for me. He paid for my sin. Do you see how you're finding encouragement through these questions? I hope so. Let me say a little bit more about that last question. How does this affect my life today? I hope you see that there's so much more that could be said here. I hope you see that you could spend hours with these questions. Don't worry, we won't. But you can sit there and just enjoy the Lord through his word, right? And you can come back to the same psalm, and the guys here are a little older than me will tell you, right? You come back to the same psalm next year and you see a whole lot more you didn't see last time. Because God's word is truly incredible. Again, I said a journal's a good idea. When David penned this psalm and he wrote these words, he said, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." David did not know what we know. Christ. Right? Maybe he had a glimmer. He had something. God will provide something. But he didn't know what we know. Isn't that amazing? We read these psalms and we know Christ has come. He's paid our price. He's risen. He's at the right hand of God. We're waiting for his return. Isn't that remarkable? We know that. David, the great psalmist, did not. How much more then have we been allowed to see? Mary, our beautiful sister, we've reflected on, has come into this fullness of joy. This pleasures at God's right hand that we cannot even comprehend. So brothers and sisters, friends, God has shown us the path of life he talks about here. He's revealed to us, and ultimately in his Son, the way to life, right? This, the only path of life. Jesus is the only way, the truth and the life. No one comes to God the Father except through him. And so David's trust was in the God who forgives and in the God who provides this salvation. Christ Jesus then, in that sense, pays for David's sin as he pays for the sin of all those who trust in God, in Jesus the Messiah, God's salvation. So how does this affect my life? Well, my heart is glad. My whole being rejoices. My flesh dwells secure, though it is weak, because he, my God, will not abandon my soul to the grave. I will not see corruption in the end. Of course, apart from his return, I will die. My body will end, will be corrupted. But in that sense of the final account of God, it will not be. I will receive a new body in Christ. I will live with him forever. Not because I'm good, let me assure you, but because he is good. Not because I am faithful, I am not, but because he is faithful. Not because I deserve grace, but because in Jesus' life and death and resurrection, God gives me what I don't deserve. Right? That's what you're here for, isn't it? In our Elders and Deacons Retreat, Lee shared from this beautiful passage I wanted to finish with this morning. It's just a beautiful passage that I hope brings this home for us. Let me read it. For the grace of God has appeared. What's the grace of God mean? Bringing salvation for all people. Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are, what are they? They're zealous, they're passionate, they're enthusiastic to do good works to his glory, right? So how does Psalm 16 affect my life today? Well, because it reminds me of his goodness. It reminds me of his grace, the grace of God to me. It points me to that beautiful inheritance that I have in God, which comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And this grace of God, his unmerited, unearned favor to me, his lavishing me with love and eternal goodness, when I had turned against him and made myself God, this grace of God, it teaches me here, it trains me to live differently, to say no to sin and yes to Jesus in my life. It instructs me. God's grace transforms my life. It transforms our life. It calls us so that while we wait for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from sin. God's grace transforms us to make us zealous to live out a life that's fully pleasing to him. To live no longer for ourselves, but for him who for our sake died and was raised. God's grace, that beautiful inheritance here in this psalm that we see ultimately in Christ, by his Spirit, transforms our lives so that our desires conform to his desires, so that our will conforms to his will, so that we become more and more passionate disciples of Jesus who make passionate disciples of Jesus to the glory of God. Brothers and sisters, friends, this morning, I plead with you to set the Lord before yourself this year. I realize that we're not at all the same stage in terms of how much of the Bible you could read, and maybe even to sit down and read a chapter a day is a difficult task, but can I commend it to you? It is worth it. As someone who's, I know I'm young, but as someone who's been traveling with the Lord for a while in terms of that growth in reading the Bible, I started off so small, right? I'm reading 1 minute a day, I'm reading a few minutes a day, but as you read more, and more importantly than reading, as you soak in more of who he is, it's this fullness of joy that we're talking about in God, this growth in passion. So I commend to you these booklets next week, not because it will do that for you, not because it will impart passion to you, but because God will, his word will, as you soak him in, his truth, as it gives birth to worship and fruitful living. And so let me humbly request you to join us this year in reading his word. You're going to slip off, you're going to get it wrong, some days you're going to not touch the questions or pray the prayer or even read the Bible. But let me commend to you to get back on the horse and let's journey together at reading his word and growing in passion for Jesus. You're going to get a double whammy because next week Lee's going to preach, I think, even harder on this. He's already prepared at Psalm 19, he told me this morning. And I didn't think I'd go this much on that way, but here we are. So you're going to get it again next week. So just get on the horse, hey, with us. Let's do it together. Again, for his glory, to grow in passion, to experience something of this fullness of joy that's to come. Don't get me wrong, it's to come. That fullness of joy is to come. But we experience something now, even here now, and certainly in his word. So let me pray for us. Father, I'm trying to encourage your people to come to you. But Lord, I don't want smarter sinners. You don't want that. You don't want knowledge that puffs up. You want love that builds up. You want people who are passionate about Jesus. And so I pray, Father, for your glory, that you would make us more passionate disciples of Jesus. And so, Lord, maybe for some of us that means growing this year. Maybe we were reading your word last year. But this year, Lord, to soak it in. And maybe for some of us, Lord, we've never really read your word. We've never really picked it up. We've never really meditated on it. I pray that this year would be a year of change in that way. Not, again, just for knowledge, but so that we might grow in our passion for Jesus, for your glory, in his name. Amen. That's what this meal reminds us about. This meal reminds us of what God did in his son Jesus to make this path of life, right, that we've read about here, this eternal life. It's what he did to make it possible. This fullness of joy, this pleasure forevermore, that's available to all who call on his name. God's word encourages us to examine our hearts, and I'm just mindful of that. I want to give you a few moments to do that. Examine your heart. And maybe that's, why don't you close your eyes again now? Close your eyes. Maybe that's this morning that you're repentant because you have not set the Lord before you. You've set other things before you. Maybe it's this morning because you've been distracted, even by hard things, stressful things. And maybe it's your burden this morning for someone else, that they might grow in passion for Jesus. Let me pray. Father, we ask your forgiveness because the truth is, if we're all honest, we do not set you before us as we should. We get distracted by so many things, we forget the Lord, and we go astray in our hearts and our minds and with our words, in our marriages, in our families, amongst our friends and even our neighbours. Father, we stray from how you would have us live, and we ask for your forgiveness. But Lord, we also praise you because you have done, you have accomplished, you have finished it on the cross, and it is paid. We are forgiven. We are your children. You love us completely, and nothing can ever change that. And so we praise you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen.